The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Yes, this is the Radio Today programme. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and this week we're starting the podcast backstage in the evening of Sunday at the Radio 2 live in Hyde Park. Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here.
It's the end, so we're doing the beginning. Is that what you said?
That's right, yeah. So we've had a lovely day in the sunshine here, thanks to the girls at Radio 2 Press Office for inviting us along. And we've been interviewing some presenters from Radio 2, who you'll hear a little bit later on this podcast. And we've been enjoying some of the music.
The music's been good. The presenters have been good. It's a who's who of who's in Radio 2 here at the event. And we've even spoken to, I think it was the real Jeremy Vine. It could have been an imposter. I wasn't quite sure. They all sound the same.
We must kind of say this is, yes, it's a Radio 2 event. It's the biggest station in the country, but this is a massive event. The scale of this is absolutely enormous. We went on a little walk when Status Quo were performing all around the perimeter of the site, and it's absolutely enormous, about 50,000 people here.
That's what they say, between 40 and 50,000 people. For this site, it is massive. But, the headline act, the Pet Shop Boys, as we speak, they're about to come on. Gary Davis is currently doing a DJ set. We had him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, of course, and it's been Westlife, it's been Status Quo, it's been Bananarama, there's been Simply Dread was on as well early on, Simply Dreadful. No, they were great. And it's just been a fantastic day. It's a festival in the day, as they say.
Excellent. Right, well, it's nice to see you in person as well. When you hear us again in a couple of minutes, we'll probably be back in our remote spots talking about the week's news.
That is so technical. Thanks for coming anyway. Love you.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Mike
Hazlewood.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Bye, Anne. Bye. Love you. Bye. Oh, gosh. Why did I say love you? I'm so sorry.
That's Jeremy saying love you. We're back in the studio. Love you, Roy.
Love you, too. that explains why I just said that, because I realised the beginning of the show I was talking about something that's going to happen later on in the show. So you can ask Jeremy about that later. How about that?
I will. I'll remember to do that. Okay. We're back from London. We're back in our usual studios and here to chat about some of the things that have been going on in the radio industry news this week. You will hear from some Radio 2 presenters in a bit. Some Bauer news, first of all, to talk about. And this is Absolute Radio's home time show expanding to 6 more radio stations.
Yeah, this makes sense. I think it was quite a few years. Was it 6 years ago that Absolute Radio Breakfast first started doing the different playlists on all the decade stations and keeping the content the same? So Christian O'Connell doing a link, going out on different stations, then pressing the tit, and different songs playing on different stations, which was absolute genius and still is to this day. And I don't think anybody's copying him, not in this country anyway. And the announcement last week was that they're going to do that on drive time as well. And I don't know about you, but why don't they just do that all day? Surely that would make sense. You have Absolute Radio, but pick your music.
Yeah, I suppose the good thing is you're investing in the content. So you got Dave Berry at breakfast, you got Richie and Bush at drive. They're doing content that's funny. They're doing phone-ins, features, texts and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, why can't you pick which music you have and get the content to go with it? It's better than some stations where perhaps it's just a genre-specific non-stop music track all day.
Yeah, there is a radio station in Europe. I forget what it's called, but it's literally one radio station name. But you, on the website, you pick your music genre and you hear the same ads, the same, I don't know if it's ads, but you hear the same content and links, but it's just different music 24/7. Maybe that's for the future. Maybe Absolute will morph into that in the future. You never know, do you?
Interesting stuff. There was a piece in the Sunday Times this week suggesting that the deals between commercial radio and BBC Sounds might be happening again. There was talk of this a few months ago and then it all went quiet. And so this BBC with its Sounds app that obviously it's pushing massively and it wants to get some of the commercial radio stations to put their content on both live streams and podcasts and everything as well. And the Sunday Times seems to be suggesting that Wireless were close to a deal. Global have previously said that they weren't interested, and we think Kenneth Bauer still not there with a deal either. But do you think these commercial radio stations should go on to a BBC app?
I think every radio station should be in as many places as possible so that, go where your listeners are is the thing. It just depends on the terms of the deal. So if BBC said, yes, we'll put you on our app, but you have to mention the BBC every hour on your commercial radio station. There's the negotiation problem, isn't it? Because you're not going to do that if you're hot. You're not going to mention the BBC every hour. Unless, of course, it brings you in loads of listeners through the Sounds app, then you might just go with it, or you might negotiate down to, you know, a couple of times a day or something like that. So, yeah, everybody should be on everywhere, I think, but obviously it doesn't work like that, and there are commercial deals to be done, and the BBC is on its own island, isn't it, usually? So it'd be interesting to see the outcome of this one.
I mean, commercial radio has long complained, and there have been some quite vocal individuals, about the free advertising that BBC Radio gets on the TV in those slots between EastEnders and the news or whatever on BBC One. So if the BBC said, all right, well, you mention the BBC every hour on your commercial radio station to say it's on BBC Sounds, but how about we put an advert on promoting Capital or Heart or Scala or whatever at, you know, a minute to 10 just before the 10 o'clock news? You know, the commercial radio could then get some free advertising out of the BBC's airtime. So, you know, that might be a deal sweetener. I don't know.
Or just take the BBC off the Sounds and just call it the Sounds app, you know, listen to us on Sounds.
Well, we had that with radio. Once you open, that was the idea of that, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what's going on with that. But the BBC Sounds app, once you open it up, there's literally no mention of the BBC inside the app, but clearly it's on the logo when you go in there, so you know what it is. So, yeah, interesting. And like you said, the radio player, that was set up to do exactly this. And now everybody who invests in radio player doesn't use radio player as their main app, which is a bit screwed up.
Yeah, so if I click a link on the BBC website to listen to Radio 2, I'm going to get BBC Sounds player, aren't I? And I think with Global and with Bauer as well, I get their own players, not the radio player anymore.
Well, Bauer have never used radio player in that way. They've always had their own player. And Global use radio player, but now, of course, it's the Global player. So there's only a handful of small stations that use his radio player, the ones that don't invest in radio player, as the main web app, or people, stations point to radio player to get them online if they don't have their own app. So it'd be interesting as well to see the future of radio player once all this irons out.
We'll follow that one. Okay, talk about some other stuff. Ofcom news this week. We are waiting for details about the applications for Cumbria, Southwest Scotland, Morecambe Bay. DAB Multiplex is going to be awarded in the coming months there. And the deadline to apply was last week. We know about some of the applicants, but not heard about all of them yet.
Yeah, it was the 11th of September, which as we record is a week ago. So the application should be on the website by now. I have got the application here from one of the applicants, which is Muxco, who have teamed up with Nation. Nation did originally say they were applying, and Muxco were probably a bit more cautious, but they've joined together and they've planned three new local services, three brand services, and a few others. So nine services in total: Heart, Radio Cumbria, Smooth, Fun Kids, Chris Country, Capital, Can Do FM, which is a community station in Barrow, and Bay Trust Radio, which is the hospital radio station for Kendal and Lancaster, and one more station called Bay Radio, which is interesting.
Yeah, there was a radio station called The Bay, obviously, for many years. It's now Heart. Can somebody else start up with that name again in that area as a commercial station, or did Global not own that brand?
Well, they don't. Nobody owns the trademark Bay Radio as it stands, but The Bay, which launched, you know, in 1993, was called The Bay. But nobody ever called it The Bay. Everybody called it Bay Radio. So by association, it was Bay Radio. And I do believe once The Bay turned into Heart, I think Bay Trust Radio tried to rebrand to Bay Radio, which would make more sense. But a few days later, they kind of went back on that and said, no, we're not actually rebranding after all. Maybe they got a phone call from Global's lawyers to say, you can't do that. So if Nation, who are behind this new Bay Radio, succeed, then they've got away with it, because they actually own Bay Radio in Swansea, don't they? Do they still operate Swansea Bay Radio?
Yeah.
So they kind of use the name. So that might be their argument, that they can launch a Bay Radio because they already use the name. So, yeah, we'll see if that one turns out.
So this is for the south end of these licences that are being awarded, and we think Bauer have probably applied for the one covering the northern end of Cumbria, so Carlisle and Gretna and places like that, where obviously they have CFM, but we haven't got confirmation of that yet.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that, and it's probably going to happen, you know, before we even publish this this podcast. So, yeah, probably two applications for Cumbria, and like Stuart said, the application awards usually within a few months, aren't they?
Yeah. Some other news from Ofcom was the approval that we thought would happen for Peterborough and Kettering and Corby, so Connect FM, to change format. Instead of being Hit Music, it's going to be Smooth, and it can share all its programmes with 106.6 Smooth East Midlands, which is also owned by Communicore. So they put this consultation out to see if anybody had a problem with it, and zero responses.
That's crazy, isn't it? It's probably the biggest format flip in UK radio history, where it's going from a Hit Music station to a Smooth Music station, yet nobody cared. Nobody responded. So we knew that was coming, and it's going ahead, and I think it's October the 1st for that format flip, as they say in the States.
Excellent. And we've talked a little bit before on this podcast about Love Sport, which is Kelvin McKenzie's sports station. He had it on AM in London and DAB in London, and that's now going national on SDL, on the second national multiplex, which I think, as Love Sport pointed out in their press release, it's the multiplex is partly owned by the people who own Talk Sport, yet they're allowing another radio station doing sport to go national.
Well, they can hardly disallow it, can they? Are they allowed to refuse business?
Probably not. But it makes it a bigger challenger for Talk Sport and for Five Live, I guess, for people doing sports coverage.
Is there any room left on SDL? Oh, will somebody have to lose bandwidth?
You're the geek. You should know things like that.
Let's assume there is. They've made plans to go on. Let's assume they'll magic it out from somewhere.
Congratulations to Callum McDonald, who starts his new show this week on BBC Radio Scotland with their Debate Night Extra programme, kind of going on after Debate Night on the BBC Scotland TV channel. And some other presenter news this week, as Callum starts that, John Humphreys, after 32 years, leaves the Today programme on Radio 4 this week, bowing out Thursday morning this week with a big interview with David Cameron. So a big end of an era on Radio 4's morning show.
Indeed. One other thing that happened this week, I was surprised to see you not on the 30 under 30 list, Stuart. What happened there?
Well, I'm a little over 30.
Stone, what?
How rude. I did have a birthday recently. I'm still would be on the 40 under 40, but such a list doesn't exist, unfortunately. But yeah, well done to everybody who is on the 30 under 30 list. Lots of names from across commercial radio and the BBC and audio production, all sorts of people on there. You can see all the names at radiotoday.co.uk.
We should do a 40 over 40. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Do it for next year, and then you'll be able to you'll be eligible to enter.
All right. Okay. Yeah for the first time. Here's something as well that's had a million views this week on Twitter. We've been enjoying this. BBC Radio York's Nathan Turvey posted on Twitter a recording of some jingles that were made for him as a kid on hospital radio, and he posted them with the message: "When I was about 13 years old, I wrote to my radio hero, Kenny Everett, to ask him if he'd make me some jingles. And I was utterly amazed when a few months later, this reel-to-reel arrived in the post."
The Nathan Turvey Show sounds a lot better when you're asleep.
Hey, you're tuned to the Nathan Turvey Wednesday Nightcap on WHR.
And now, the show with knobs on!
The show with knobs on.
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 For the next few moments, it's a knobbly sort of show brought to you by Nathan Turvey on WHR. And here's the first gramophone record. Nathan Turvey is the name, he's quite a good invention. He's playing all the latest hits, so please all pay attention.
Well, there you are, Nathan. A few little jinglets for you. Sorry I've been so long in replying, but you know how life gets in the way. Well, that's all from me. Hope you enjoy them. Bye.
Can you imagine now writing to Chris Evans or Chris Moyle, say, can you make me some jingles for my hospital radio show?
They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. I tell you what, there's two things I want to say about that. There's three. One is fantastic. Two is, in my experience, if I racked up at my hospital radio station with those kind of jingles on a reel-to-reel, it would have to go through three committee meetings to then get ruled out of playing, so they wouldn't be allowed on the air. And the other thing is, there was a guy called Keith Ward. I don't know if Keith listens to the show or even if he does radio anymore, but he reminds me of this situation because I said to him when I first joined hospital radio, I could do some jingles for my Saturday show. And then a few weeks later, he gave me a reel-to-reel full of jingles like that. So Keith Ward was my Kenny Everett, and I've probably still got them in my mum's loft somewhere. But yeah, fantastic story. He loved his jingles as well, didn't he?
I've got some made by a mate of my dad's who made me some hospital radio jingles in the 90s as well. But yeah, it's hardly of Kenny Everett standard. So if you've got anything like that that somebody made for your hospital radio show, maybe somebody famous did you a bit of a jingle, then let us know, and we'd be interested to hear about it.
Talking of jingles, I've got one here that I listened to at the weekend when we're at the Radio 2 Live in Hyde Park. And it's the people who were headlining Hyde Park. They made me a couple of jingles quite a few years ago. Do you want to hear it?
Go on, then.
Press play.
Roy Martin.
Hello, this is Neil Tennant.
I'm Chris Lowe with the Pet Shop Boys.
And we're with Roy Martin on The Late Show.
Wow, you're a bigger anorak than I ever thought you even were.
An award-seeking production, I'm sure you'll agree. Here we go. Just listen to this, because Beverly Knight joined them on stage, didn't she? Have a listen to this.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Beverly Knight. Oh, wow. It's Beverly Knight here, and I'm chilling out on the fabulous Late Roy Martin Show.
The fabulous Late Roy Martin Show. Roy Martin!
Right, that's enough about jingles. The Viamux workshops for people interested in finding about small-scale DAB have begun, supported by Radio Today and Playout One. The team were in Belfast last week. They're heading to Edinburgh 28th of September, Newcastle on the 5th of October, and new dates just announced. They'll be in Sheffield on the 9th of November, Watford on the 10th of November, and Cardiff on the 23rd. Full details at viamux.com. There's also some other events going on as we head into the autumn. Radio Centre Conference Tuning in North in Manchester on the 25th of September. Next month, Roy, I think you're going to Ireland and then to Amsterdam within a few days of each other.
Do you know what? Any excuse to get in the car and drive. I am driving to the middle of Ireland in a couple of weeks' time, the 4th of October, because the All Ireland Radio Awards are taking place, which is fun. I shall be there for the first time. First time ever Radio okay. Today there in an official capacity for reasons we shall not go into. So expect live tweeting from that event. We'll do all the winners. We'll do photos and atmosphere and things like that. That's on Friday night, the 4th of October. If you're in Ireland listening to this podcast and you see a guy there on his own trying to work out what the hell is going on and staying sober because he's driving the next morning, then that's me. Come and say hi. And then I'll be driving literally from Ireland to Holland over that weekend. You know I like driving, don't you? To go to Imaging Days, because as much as I like driving, I also like a jingle or two as well. So there's a two-day jingle fest taking place in Amsterdam. And I shall be there doing one or two live tweets as well. That's on the 7th and 8th of October.
I think there's quite a few UK production people going there as well. So say hello to Roy and make him not look like he doesn't have any friends.
I know a few geeks there. We'll be all right.
Drive to Digital as well, the digital radio conference happening the day before Brexit Day, maybe, the 30th of October at the British Library in London. Get yourself registered if you would like to go. Still to come on the podcast, we've got David Lloyd's Radio Moments, James Cridland here as well with some thoughts on 5G technology. And we're talking to some Radio 2 presenters next. We'll see you next week, Roy.
Bye-bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today.
here we are live backstage at Radio 2 live in Hyde Park, and with OJ Borge from the 12 till 3 slot on Radio 2.
He's done his research.
He has.
And today it's a glorious day, and you're on stage being the big boomy voiceover guy. How did you get that gig?
Well, they asked me. I did it last year. I shared it last year with Angela Scanlon, and I guess I did all right. So they said, do you want to do it this year? I was like, yeah, 100%. It's a great thing to do. It's one of those nerve-wracking things where I'm sat in a little tiny room. It's like doing radio, because you're sat in a little tiny room, there's no one around you, and then you realise that there's, whatever, 48,000 people the other side of a curtain.
And you put on a different voice when you're reading those lines?
No, I don't think I've ever had a radio voice. I always wanted one. Every now and again, I'll pretend I'm doing Late Night Love and move into a sexy voice. But that is more Mickey Tate than anything else.
And so, what, a year and a half now at Radio 2?
He's done more research!
You're getting used to these late night stroke early
mornings? No, no one ever does. Nobody does. I've just about sorted my body clock out, although the problem is, week before last, I was on holiday, so I had 10 days off. First time I had such a length off, other than when we had a baby, but that's not sleep. And I'd actually started getting my body clock into normal hours, so it's been awful going back. But I just about, I think, till 3 o'clock in the morning. It's less overnight. It's more a party lifestyle. Just have to pretend every night you're going out and getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the way I do it.
And as well as Radio 2, you do some Five Live stuff. But in the past, you were a big commercial radio jock. So
yeah, I love commercial radio.
Does it seem a lot different now?
Commercial radio?
Well, no, to doing the BBC stuff to commercial radio stuff. Because everybody says it's just the same.
It is just the same. It is the same. It's just without the adverts. I mean, we've tried to keep a lot. Commercial radio is a brilliant thing. Commercial radio done well is as good as anything else on the planet. And I think a lot of what was good about commercial radio was that ability to get across a great idea as quickly as possible. You know, word economy and all those terrible phrases done right are good things. The problem is, commercial radio started to become, can you do it in 15 seconds? And can you do it with a tagline and a sell and everything else, which became pointless being a presenter on it. So hopefully I've taken some of the best things about commercial radio, where you keep it light, you keep it bright, it's fun, everyone's included. You don't talk for minutes and minutes and minutes. So unfortunately, after years of commercial radio, I can't do long links. It's almost impossible for me to do it. So I would say it's the same, but only because I think I was doing what I was doing now on commercial radio.
And I guess you must pinch yourself on the times when you go into Wogan House either to do a Depp show or to do your show from the studios in London. Wow, look at this place I'm in.
Have you ever been in them?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it is amazing what the place is. Wow. The studios are a little old
They've had another refit this summer.
They have indeed. There's some new air conditioning. Yeah, oh God, I love it. Did it from Wogan House. We do our show, because ours is up in the north, the Soft Riviera, as I call it. We do ours from up there. And I like to think of it as Wigan House, because I once tried to send Wogan House somebody to reconnect him. The fact we're in the north, it sort of works for me. Don't think anyone else has got the joke yet. So yeah, it is wonderful to do my show. It sometimes doesn't feel like I'm on Radio 2. And I say this with my producers as well, that we sort of, you know, we're sort of out of it, we're out of the mix of it, we don't go into the building, and then suddenly we've got control of Europe's biggest radio station for a bit, and then we hand it back. But when we do go down to London, do the show from there, it feels like you're in the nerve centre, the heart of the beast. It's great.
I'm here with the Reverend Kate Botley. And first of all, Pointless the other night.
Oh, we were robbed, huh? You know,
close.
The trouble is with like those quiz show things is I get so nervous about doing stuff like that. And then I remember why I don't play board games with my family, because I am too competitive. And what I tend to do is like tip the board over. And that's exactly what happens in programmes like this. I get so competitive. I don't like who I am when I'm doing stuff like that.
And they gave you the tallest possible person to stand next
to
me, Jason.
This is the thing. So I had so many messages. I mean, I was here last night watching Barry Manilow, so I didn't see it, but I had so many messages on my phone going, just how tall is Jason? I think the thing is, how short am I? That's the question.
So you've been doing the show with Jason for 18 months or so. Yeah. Are you enjoying that?
Oh, do you know, it's the most fun you can have with your cassock off. It honestly is. It is just such a giggle. And, you know, it was when we first met, I think it was the weirdest blind date I have ever been on. Because we met in this coffee shop, we'd been put together, and we didn't know if it would work. We didn't, because it's a tricky thing doing a two-hander, you know, especially with egos like ours. You know, you really don't want that sort of tussle of, you know, trying to co-present. And it doesn't always work. But we just hit the ground running. I mean, it took us a couple of weeks to find out each other's quirks and stuff, but now it's like, he's like my radio husband. It's just great. We adore each other.
And there would be probably some people who say, why do we have to have faith programming on a big network like Radio 2?
It's really important, and the reason that we're there is that what's happening for me, as far as I can see in my tradition and faith, is that the gap between faith and culture is getting ever wider, and it's our job to speak into that gap and to say that actually faith is a really normal part of lots of people's lives. So even if it's, you know, and it's not about pushing pushing anything down anyone's throat. It's not about evangelizing or anything like that. It's just about saying that actually this is part of our story. Faith and spirituality and belief is part of our human story. And so it reflects on that. And my favorite conversation is when people go, I'm not religious, but, and I get to go, great, now we've got something to talk about, so let's talk about that.
And the even more mainstream thing that you do is obviously Pause for Thought on The Breakfast Show, and you've been doing that for a good few years now. And that is quite a complicated thing to get in from the chat with, now with Zoe and previously with Chris, from the just kind of chit-chat into your serious message.
And there's that sort of gear change sometimes, isn't there, where you think, what's happening here? And it's a lovely little story. And then all of a sudden it's like, and the squirrel in the park, and it's a little bit like Jesus, folks. And so, and the Venn diagram of all the things you've got to hit, especially in a Pause for Thought, I mean, it's 350-400 words. It is the hardest thing I write, and I write eulogies, you know, so it's really tricky to write, especially on a Friday when it's friends around Friday and everything's light and bubbly and funny, and then you've got to come in with the Jesus chat. It's just like, oh my word, how am I supposed to do this?
Did you think you would end up here when you started out? I think you were a teacher, weren't you, first?
Darling, you know, I'm at that stage still where I think the phone call's coming tomorrow that says, this is not, we didn't mean you. So I'm in the green room going, is this free? I'll have that. Because I can't believe that I've... It's a miracle of sorts, but I am just having the best time. And, you know, when it's done, when my time to shine and do this sort of stuff is done, and I'm back doing other things, I'll look back and go, well, that was just brilliant, wasn't it? It's a privilege. It's a privilege.
Who are you looking forward to most tonight? Pet Shop Boys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was looking forward to Emily Sandé, but unfortunately she's not very well. Barry Manilow was brilliant yesterday. Pet Shop Boys, but I'm here with my rugby girls. I used to play rugby, and so there's got to be some benefits to having me as a friend, right? And they know where the bodies are hid. Do you know what I'm saying? We've been mates for 26 years, so I have to keep them on side. So just hanging out, just enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the music, you know, a few glasses of Pimm's a bit later on, and having a bit of a dance. What's not to love?
Here's Trevor Nelson backstage at Radio 2 Live in Hyde Park. Wow, this is exciting and a hot sunny day.
It's beyond hot, and actually it's too hot. How can you say that in September? But yeah, it's always exciting doing this. 50,000 people, superstar artists. It's, what can I tell you? It's just fun.
And I think you're really enjoying, you can tell listening to you, you're really enjoying the late night stuff that you're doing on Radio 2.
It's my dream show come to life, honestly. I think that for me, I don't know if anyone's followed my career, they've always seen me as Mr. R&B or Mr. Hip Hop, Mr. This, but it's a culmination of all of that, and I get to play some Guilty Pleasures. And no, I love it. I genuinely think it's the slot for me.
And you're still doing a One Extra show on a Sunday?
Yeah, because I love hip-hop. And I don't want to give up playing it yet. And, you know, I play old-school hip-hop and stuff, and it's, and I love it. So, yeah, yeah.
I don't even like him. Yeah, yeah.
You can waste your batteries on him after.
Hi, Craig.
Yeah, you're all right.
Well done, mate. Well done.
Was that all right?
Well, yeah, of course it was.
So Craig's just been on stage doing a music set.
Yeah, yeah.
Emily had to cancel. Yeah, so Craig come to the rescue with a whole hour.
I know. I only found out about 15 minutes before I went on. Well. Like, oh,
but he was going to do his, he was going to do a set. Yeah, so yeah, he was, right. He, you know, he had to take it, man.
I'll look, when you start glazing over, you can come and talk to me, or I'll leave you. Right.
Thanks, Craig. What I was going to say was, you know, 30 years ago, you were on Kiss on a pirate station. Yeah. Look at where you are now. Could you have imagined it would turn out this way?
I got into this purely because I love music, and my ambition was always the next day. No, I wouldn't imagine, but I took the responsibility on when I got to Radio 1 in 96. And then, you know, my eyes opened, and I just want to be on the biggest station playing the best music. It's as simple as that. And I am a BBC boy, so, you know, and BBC Radio 2 is the biggest music station in Europe, so that will do me.
Nice to talk to you, Trevor.
Thank you very much.
So Craig Charles is still here, and Craig, you came late to radio, but music's always been your biggest passion, hasn't it?
I didn't come that late, you know. I started when Kiss FM became a legal station. I used to do the breakfast show on Kiss FM, so that was like back in the early 90s, like 91. So I kind of started then, and then obviously the lure of the bright lights and television and stuff like that sort of sucked me away from it. So I came back when Six Music wasn't even called Six Music then. It was called the Y Network, and we started doing some demos on that when it first began. So I'm the Ken Barlow of Six Music. I've been there since the beginning.
You're loving it. Cheers, Craig.
I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Nice to talk to you.
I can't believe I'm leaving you on the Ken Barlow of Six Music. You know?
That was Craig Charles on the Radio Today programme, and here's another Radio 2 presenter. It's Jeremy Vine. Nice hot sunny day for it.
Do you know, I'm melting. I've got a cap that I've just bought
and I put it on, and I suddenly was worried it said "Make America Great Again" on the front. It didn't, but I've now lost it after 10 minutes, so that wasn't a great success.
And you get to go on stage and introduce somebody here.
Well, this is amazing for me. I remember when I was about 10 hearing "Rocking All Over the World" by Status Quo, and today I'm going to introduce the band. So, you know, whatever music you love, and I'm Joy Division, and I'm this and that, and Elvis Costello, but I know they're one of the greatest rock bands of all time. Obviously, they lost Rick Parfitt. That's terribly sad. I can't wait to see them today. And to be introducing them with Ken is a dream come true. I never, ever thought in my life I would one day introduce Status Quo on a stage. I do the news. This is not supposed to happen to me.
I think the last time we spoke to you, you were probably still just doing your Radio 2 show. You've now added the TV show in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's a busy morning for you every day.
Yeah, it is a busy morning. I mean, I always think that the Channel 5 show is an absolute delight and a joy. I don't feel it's taxing in that sense. It's just the joy of the news. It's just like Radio 2 in that sense. They fit together very well. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The figures are good and great co-presenter Storm Huntley, so it's fun. I mean, the thing that's different about the Channel 5 from Radio 2 is that it's quite celeb heavy. So you'll have Love Island and Made in Chelsea and Geordie Shore come on, people from that, and I'm reading up, you know, and then someone will come on and talk about the budget and they didn't know there was one, and I think that's fantastic. We had Connie Huck the other day and she just suddenly went crazy about Brexit, and I thought, isn't it good just not interviewing politicians for a change?
And you've obviously done a lot of TV before, but doing a daily show where audiences are interacting with you, does that highlight that difference between TV and radio and the closeness of your radio audience?
It does make me rejoice in the radio sometimes. I think the great thing about the radio is the intimacy, the fact that somebody can call you and say something very personal that they've never told anyone before and they don't feel like they're being invaded. TV's a bit more of a thing, but the great thing about the Channel 5 show is that it is, in some ways, a phone-in, just like a radio show. And I think that's what Matthew Wright pioneered, was the idea you can do a phone-in on TV. We haven't really had those before. So, yes, we have callers. It's a wonderful thing. My heart is with Radio 2, as you know, so I think anything I can do to take the things I've learned on Radio 2 and do them in other places is a great joy.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Love you.
Love you, man. Thank you. Yes, I said that to a listener. How did that happen? Thank you, love you. And she seemed to take it okay, I think. No, it's fine. At home with my kids, my young daughters, I say, okay, Martha, time for bed. Love you. And then it becomes like a way of saying goodbye. I just must remember not to say it on the air to listeners. Thank you for that, Stuart.
That's Jeremy Vine live in Hyde Park. A great event it was as well. David Lloyd's Radio Moments with brilliant memories from years gone by in our industry coming up. Also, James Crillon here in a second with something about 5G technology. First, let me tell you about some other technology that might help out your show or your podcast. It's called Clean Feed, and it's a great way to connect in live quality audio just using a browser with a computer at both ends. Maybe if you're doing an interview with a guest for your show or your podcast or hosting from somewhere different to usual. CleanFeed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and the quality is great, and you can even record within the browser as well. CleanFeed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you a minute or two to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. Strap yourself in. This is going to be a bit techie this week, because if there's one thing being talked about a lot over the last year or so, it's 5G. 5G is a new technology for mobile broadband. 5G is much like 4G, but a bigger pipe. So what's the big deal? Well, it has one thing in it that could potentially be useful for broadcasters. It's called 5G broadcast. If you have 1,000 people who listen to your live radio station online, that normally means 1,000 connections to your streaming server and 1,000 sets of audio data being sent across the internet. But with 5G broadcast, it means just one, because it uses broadcast technology to get that signal to your audience. Now, 4G has this as well, but the difference with 5G is that shared 5G broadcast can be run by the broadcaster rather than each network operator, because unlike now, 5G broadcast doesn't need a SIM card, and it works for radio and for TV. So it could theoretically replace a network of radio or TV transmitters. It could replace satellite TV broadcasting or cable networks. So from a technology point of view, it's quite interesting for larger broadcasters. However, in reality, the spectrum has already been sold to the mobile companies and they would want to charge broadcasters for access to it and for a share of the cost of installing the tens of thousands of base stations to make all of this work. 5G broadcast is also not built into 5G phones as standard. It's a different thing. So mobile operators would need to get the phone manufacturers to do that. And their charging structure is based on data usage, so it's difficult to understand why they would put something into mobile phones that reduces the amount of money they can make from selling data. And the advance that 5G broadcast gives is limited to live broadcasting. It doesn't offer anything extra for on-demand, other than a connection with bigger capacity. So is 5G the future for radio? Well, from a technology standpoint, it clearly is exciting, but in the real world, it seems to me that there are many questions that we don't yet have the answers to. Broadcasters already have a great way of reaching audiences through the internet, FM or DAB+. And unlike 5G, our use of the normal public internet offers benefits for everybody, whatever technology they use. So my suggestion is to keep watching 5G, but focus on our existing broadcast infrastructure. FM works great for many, and DAB Plus is pretty good too. You can get my weekly newsletter, it is weekly now, at james.crid.land, and daily podcast news, which is daily, at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, thankfully no technology, or not much anyway, here's David Lloyd.
One of the earliest commercial radio rebrands happened quietly in 1991 as Pennine Radio in Bradford changed its name to The Pulse. Pennine had begun this week in 1975.
Good morning, this is Pennine Radio. It's 6 o'clock, time for the news. This is Stephen Harris reporting. First, there's grim news for the students.
Those news jingles back then, longer than the bulletins are now. Anyway, first bulletin ever on a station, and you have to get that right, don't you?
I'm sorry we had the wrong cart there. That was Bob Scully, who's the British Steel Corporation's chief executive.
Oh dear, bet he kicked the bin on the way out. So, first commercial break now.
What's that, Mum?
It's Bradford City Hall chimes.
But isn't it a new tune?
Yes, it's so he can spot messages from the Telegraph and Argus each time they're given on Pennine Radio.
Oh, I see. Do you know, I used to enjoy reading Telegraph when I lived at home.
Oh, your dad and I'd be lost without it, Sue. It's really surprising how much money you can save when you know where to find best supermarket bargains. There's always plenty of local news, births, marriages, deaths, all small ads. Oh, and very often now again, there are hundreds of articles on offer at the fiver and under.
Mum, please remind me to take a copy home tonight. I know Bill will enjoy sports news, so there'll be something for both of us.
So there'll be something there for everybody. It always pays to take...
Births, marriages and deaths is Oscar-winning, isn't it? The birth of commercial radio in Bradford. It took another 6 years before it arrived next door in Leeds. It's been 5 long political years since the Scottish referendum, and do you remember this from Bob FM?
Hang on. I'm gonna stop this song. I'm gonna stop it. I'm in there.
What's going on?
The Scots have been winding me up this week. You know, we're so close to the end of the United Kingdom as we know it, and then we have to play that, you know. Scottishness. He says he'll walk 500 miles. But come on. A lot of them don't want anything to do with England. You don't want anything to do with England? After all we've done for you. For 300 years. We've put up with your bagpipes. Your spicy eggs. Your hairy cattle. Your short-ass ponies, your men in skirts, and the crankies. You ungrateful bunch of whiskey-swigging, haggis-munching caber-tossers. From now on, this is it, right? From now on, this radio station is banning anything Scottish.
Bob FM banning Scottish music. Almost 50 complaints received by Ofcom. There was no sanction. And just to redress the balance, 25 years ago, Scotland got a major new station as Scott FM launched.
You take your time, son, there's no rush.
The prize is a two-piece jigsaw, and you can refer to the instructions. Yeah? All you public school boys are the same.
Oh, I don't think that.
Oh, come on now. You went to one of these big fancy schools, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Yeah, where you wear your gowns and everything.
No.
You've had a silver spoon clamped in your gob.
No, I did not. Eh? I would not.
Good old Scotty McClue, who joined Scott FM a little bit after its launch this week in 1994. It was then owned by Border Television and Grampian. It later became Real, and now it's Heart. This week in 1961, the Pilkington Committee were meeting to try to work out exactly what to do about the future of broadcasting. At the BBC, some people, at least, felt that local radio under their auspices would be a jolly good idea. So they knocked up how such stations might sound and played those tapes to the committee, no doubt on a battered old reel-to-reel. Here are just a few clips.
This is Radio Durham, your local BBC station. And this is Stanley Williamson. Good morning.
Radio Hull, your local BBC station. The time? 6 o'clock. Well, good morning. It's Michael Barton here in the Guildhall on a rather uncertain morning. A few splashes of rain.
Now, Bert Wilson in the radio car has already called this morning on our county medical officer, Dr. George Wilson, to talk to him about smallpox vaccination.
Good morning. Today we have our weekly programme on food news. And here is Angela Beeching talking about the best buys in the Durham shops for this weekend.
Hello. Well, I've been round the shops to find out what's plentiful and inexpensive for your weekend shopping. I talked to the Mayor of Durham, Councillor Williamson, who, as you know, is...
Trial BBC local programmes played to members of the Pilkington Committee this week in 1961, and their report recommended that the BBC should extend its activities to local radio, not least to prevent commercial radio. 2012 now, and who's this leaving Radio 1 Breakfast?
The text messages. We had a text message from the people who run the text messaging that Radio One uses, the actual system, operating yeah. system and all
console,
of that.
Console, it's called, isn't it?
And there's been a bottleneck of text.
Yeah.
So we've had 120,000 text messages since the start of the show. And they sent a message basically saying, yes, you've pretty much broken the equipment, so...
Gonna miss you guys.
We also...
That's what they said, gonna miss you guys.
We in turn have to apologise to our other radio colleagues, don't we, across different
Sadly,
networks, who
yeah.
will also be experiencing delays and problems today. As
oh,
we
yeah,
are.
Does it...
Yeah, well, it must do, because they all use the same system.
Anyway. So, yeah, thank you for being with us. Whether you've listened since me and Dave run in the early mornings, or the afternoon show, which we did for 5.5 years...
I know.
Or the just over 8.5 years of the... morning show, the Chris Moore show, breakfast show, whatever you want to call it. Thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting us. And with the risk of sounding ridiculously cheesy, for making all our dreams come true.
Chris Moyles now at Radio X. Pig of the Pops was always a great programme title, wasn't it? Lives on to this day. David Jacobs was an early host in the days of the BBC Light programme, but this week in 1961, he handed it over to Alan Freeman.
And from 11:20... all the current top 20 hit paraders.
All the current top 20 ones?
Well, not all of them, but some of them.
Yes.
Most of them.
You will.
The good ones.
Yes. All right, then. Well, we look forward to listening to you, and I'd like to wish you every possible success with what, to me, has been a jolly fun programme to do.
Thank you very much, David, and may I say congratulations on 5 years of magnificent Pick of the Pops programmes.
Alan Freeman sounding terribly English this week in 1961 as he took over Pick of the Pops as part of Trad Tavern on the BBC Light programme. So, with Spire FM launching in Salisbury 27 years ago...
Serving army camps and country villages, in towns and farms, along the valleys and across the plain, from the New Forest to the heart of Wessex.
The last Tim Westwood show on Radio 1 6 years ago.
I definitely want to thank Radio 1 and One Extra, Ben and Reese. An incredible blessed life. Shout out to Limlop in the building. Shout out to my new bosses, Richard Park, Gareth Stewart and Al.
Downtown Radio in Northern Ireland going 24 hours 31 years ago.
That, in fact, will be the last time that we'll be officially using the opening music, because this coming evening into tomorrow morning, 1 o'clock, in fact, we go 24 hours.
Radio arriving in Nottingham 95 years ago.
A Laurie Bagshaw. He was really good fun. He had a lot of racy friends and everybody
loved Laurie.
And GWR's Ralph Bernard saying 15 years ago that switch off for analog radio must happen sooner rather than later, or the industry could get left behind. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and James and Roy and my guests this week, OJ, Kate, Trevor, Craig and Jeremy. Big thank you to Sarah, Roni, Kate and Sharon and the rest of the gang at Radio 2 as well for having us at their big event in Hyde Park. If you're putting something on, you're welcome to invite us. If we can make it, we'll be there. Next week, we'll talk to the longest-serving breakfast presenter in BBC local radio, Eric Smith from Radio Shropshire. He's on the podcast talking about his 25 years on air in the county. So join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.